This morning's responsive reading in our congregation is taken from Proverbs chapter 15, verses 16 through 33. And so if you have a Bible and you would like to join on hearing some of my comments, please do so at this time. Proverbs chapter 15, beginning with verses 15 to the end. Actually, I think let's consider verse 33. How does the proverb itself end? How does chapter 15 end? It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Okay? And Proverbs, you don't need to turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 1, I believe, is verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay? So notice how the book of Proverbs continues its continuity, its main theme, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but a fool despises wisdom and instruction. And when we look at life in general, when we look at the raising of children, or we look at students in a classroom, or we look at people that are in a work environment with a boss or a foreman, and then you get all of the little worker bees, you and I both know from human history and from our own experience, that whether it's raising children, whether it's teaching children in a classroom, or whether it's managing a shop with a number of worker bees under you, you're always going to have a fool in that chemistry. You're going to always find someone who's going to be obstinate, doesn't like to follow the rules, like a child in a home, or a student that finds more pleasure in disrupting the class, or the worker bee that likes to cause a lot of contention and friction amongst co-workers. And then you can even bring that into a church family. You may have one or two individuals that never seem to be happy, never seem to be pleased, always causing or stirring the pot because they enjoy doing it and watching everybody else suffer. Well, the Bible tells us here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then we come to Proverbs 15, and the very last verse of that says what? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and, now notice, before honor is humility. Now, how can I take the last phrase of that verse 33 and bring it into a New Testament understanding? How about this one? Before the crown, the cross. Before the reward, we suffer as Christians on this world. We go through tribulation, we go through trials, we go through the loss of loved ones, the loss of a job, or the loss of one's health. This side of the grave, beloved, is not a rose petal walk in the park. Jesus told us that we would suffer persecution, but that we would overcome because he had overcome. And then Paul tells us, not only has it been given unto us to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for him, in Philippians chapter 1, the last verse. So notice the principle. This is a biblical principle. This is totally against the world's principles, but according to biblical wisdom, before anyone is exalted, humility comes first. Remember Jesus' parable about those who sought the highest seats when they went to a banquet? What did he advise people to do? Take the lowest seat and wait for the master of the feast to bid you to come further up the table and sit in a place of prominence. Let that person make you the attention of prominence, not yourself doing it for yourself. I find that amazing. Also, too, verses 32 of Proverbs 15. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Again, think of the child in a particular home that doesn't want to follow any of the rules. Think of the student in a classroom that's all the time causing the classroom to stop while the teacher addresses his or her behavior. Think of the church family who has one or two individuals that just likes to stir the pot and agitate the unity or the mood of a church family. And then you have the individual that's in a work environment, that one worker that's never happy. And so he wants everybody else around him to be unhappy. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. So notice how close it gets when somebody refuses biblical instruction. They are literally hating themselves. They don't realize that. They may think that they're getting back at people or they're causing a commotion and they're just lapping it up and they're enjoying people fighting one another because of his or her antics. But in the bottom line, biblically speaking, when a person refuses to receive any instruction, they're basically telling themselves they hate themselves. But he that heareth reproof, getteth understanding. Look at verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. So notice these little tidbits in verses 31, 32, and 33. You have the wise man contrasted with the fool. We have the individual that does receive instruction. And it can be anything, not only biblical instruction, but instructions when it comes to living life. How to handle money. You don't spend more than what you make. You don't just go into debt because you got a credit card. Things of that nature. You have people today, young people, who think they have all the answers and that an older generation can offer them nothing. Well, that's what's being addressed here. The heir that heareth the reproof of life, he or she is going to abide among the wise. He that refuseth instruction ultimately despiseth his own soul. He hates himself. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Then you look at verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked. We hear people today, well, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. No, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Verses 27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Notice the contrast in that verse 27. Verse 26, notice this one. Again, how do you separate the sinner from his sins? The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Not just his deeds, not just his acts, but his very thinking. And we're doing a series right now on worldviews. You either have a biblical worldview, which comes with a whole lot of thoughts and a whole lot of thinking and a whole lot of ideology and a whole lot of theology. And then you got a pagan worldview where God is not even in the picture. The Bible is rejected. The church is no longer sought for counsel or for wisdom. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. Not just his lifestyle. His very thinking. His very thought processes. And then you take this verse here in verse 26, and then you cross-reference that to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, where it says that when God looks over a person, over a culture, or over a people, when they reject the light that is given to them, what does God do? He gave them up. He gave them over to a reprobate mind. And in that mind comes forth what? Reprobated thoughts. And the Bible says the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. Look at verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. What's being established? Purposes. Plans. The way of life. How to live. And how to die right. Verse 21, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Notice how the book of Proverbs addresses the mind. It addresses wisdom. It addresses one's understanding. And so, beloved, the mind, literally the heart of an individual, is the key to what comes out of that life, what comes out of that mouth. Those thought processes of an individual, whether it's a saved individual that is bathed in God's word, he or she will think a certain way. They will act a certain way, inevitably. The man or the woman who has been, who literally divorces any concept of a God ruling in his or her life, his thoughts, her thoughts will eventually bear itself out in a lifestyle of foolishness and ultimately self-destruction. Well, may God choose to bless his word. You know something? Those who tell us that the Old Testament is no longer relevant, look at all the wisdom that they have kept back from themselves and from their congregations. By telling people, we live under the new covenant, therefore the old covenant has nothing to offer. What a shame. What a loss for those people. Look at all the wisdom that's found in this 15th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And if we were to follow it, how better would the world be? And how better would our own personal lives be at that? Well, may God choose to bless his word.